pocket a lot. And I realize that. And yeah. And I pull on my sleeve because my watch is so big. My sleeve just doesn't seem to cover it. I always get subconscious about it. And this is just the way the Ruach works, is that I never look at my watch during the service. You know, because I'll let the Ruach speak for as long as he wants to speak. Because if I look at it and I'm short, I'm going to go, oh, I have to fill. If I'm long, I'm going, oh, I want to short it. But I want the Ruach to have the ability to speak whatever he wants to speak. So I never look at my watch, but we always end up on time somehow. And I know how. Amen. So, Kayasera, and this is one of those times where I'm actually very, most of the time I teach out of the Torah portion. But this time, I'm going to the Haftorah portion. All right, so for those of you who read the Torah portion, that's okay. We'll have the Torah for today. Later today, we'll dig into it a little deep. So it won't go for the waste. Don't worry about it. But I hope you read the Haftorah portion as well. And know that there are going to be times that even though we know the plans that Adonai has for us, it doesn't mean that the plans will automatically occur. God wants to bless us. But just the fact that Adonai wants to bless us doesn't mean that we just sit there and let it rain on us. It's going to happen because Adonai has anointed us. Getting that plan and hearing the plan is really the very beginning of the steps. There are other things that have to happen in order for that blessing to come, in order for the plan to succeed. And the Haftorah portion, we have the story of Solomon becoming king. And it's a great example of things that had to happen in order for that Solomon to step forward. Now, if you remember the first chapter of 1 Kings, David's getting old. He's so old, he needs a virgin woman just to lay next to him to warm him up. He's that old. He's so old. He's not actually running the kingdom in the day-to-day activities. He's kind of, you know, in the final days of his kingdom. And even as he comes to the end of his reign, he knows what's coming next. He knows who's supposed to be the next king because Adonai has proclaimed it already that it's going to happen. And we see that in 1 Chronicles 22:9. So let's take a quick read on that. 1 Chronicles 22:9-10 says, "Behold, a son will be born to you who will be a man at rest. I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. His name will be Solomon, and I will confer shalom and quietness on Israel in his days. He will build a house for my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his royal throne over Israel forever." God made known who was going to be the next king. He had already blessed Solomon by blessing Solomon the kingdom. But it took more than just knowing God's plan for this to happen. We're going to look and we're going to see it took wisdom, it took action along with the knowledge of Adonai to allow Solomon to become king. Because there were things in the natural that would have stood in the way of Solomon becoming king. How old was Solomon when he became king? He was only 12 years old when he became king. So, you know, are you handing a whole kingdom off to a 12-year-old? Does that seem in the natural to be prudent? But that's what Adonai had planned. Solomon wasn't even the oldest son of David. In fact, according to 1 Chronicles 3, it appears Solomon was actually the 10th son of King David. He wasn't even close. The 10th son. Now, Adonijah, I'm going to say it that way because that's the way my mouth rolls. Adonijah, someone can pronounce it better than I'm sure about it. Was David's fourth son from his fifth wife. Now, Ammon, Absalom, and Caleb, we'll call him Daniel because that's the translation of the name, are already dead. So the first three of Solomon's sons are already dead. Adonijah was the next one in line. At least as far as age was concerned. And although Adonai had made it known that Solomon would be the next king, Adonijah stepped up and tried to take the kingdom. He saw the opportunity. Even though it was well known in the kingdom that Solomon was supposed to be the next king, according to Adonai, it was prophecy that was already spoken over him. It was David's desire. He had already made it known that it was going to go to Solomon. But Adonijah didn't care about all that. He cared about what he wanted. So what did he do? Well, it began with just boasting. 1 Kings 1:5-6. Now Adonijah, son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I'll be king." So he prepared for himself chariots, horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. His father had not scolded him at any time by asking, "Why have you behaved this way?" He was also a very handsome man. He was born after Absalom. He had all the things going for him that a king should have according to the natural. He was handsome, unlike myself. He made it look like he was the next king. He had horses. He had men running before him. He had chariots. He exalted himself. And when that word exalted is mithnasa, meaning not just saying it once, but he said it over and over and over again so that the people would know, or at least the people would think that he was supposed to be king. Because how many of us know, well, if you hear something often enough, it must be true. How many of us grew up with listening to the radio, hearing a song the first time and saying, "Man, that's an awful song." But they play it so often that eventually it becomes this earworm or whatever they call it. And all of a sudden you're humming it all the time and it's a song you remember forever. And all of a sudden, somehow this awful song became a great song because it became true in your mind. How many know that, you know, people just want to say things until you believe it? Well, that's what he did. He kept speaking it out. He kept saying, "I'm going to be the next king," until people started to believe it. And not only did he say it, King David loved his son. He was the next, he was the oldest living son he had. So he loved him, spoiled him a little bit, didn't stop him from saying things he shouldn't have been saying, didn't stop him from doing things he shouldn't have been doing, kind of spared the rod and spoiled the child there. He was kind of that wild, undisciplined child who didn't get corrected because the parents loved them so much. But it caused conflict in the kingdom. And in our lives, the same thing's going to happen. There are going to be those unruly children, only they won't be children. Sometimes it's just going to be life getting in the way. Sometimes it's going to be Satan getting in our way. Sometimes it might even be Adonai slowing you down so you don't get in front of them. There are going to be many things that come against you that will prevent you from doing the purposes that need to be fulfilled. And they'll come at many stages as you're doing these things. From the very beginning when you're looking for direction, from the time that you have the plan, that you're putting things together, to the time you're even right up to the after you started enacting it already and it's going, things are going to happen that are going to make you think, am I doing this right? Is this really what God told me to do? Well, I'm going to say that there are six steps that we should take when we start planning something. So there are six steps that I'm going to lay out. Let me list them first, and then we're going to go back over each one of them. The first thing to do is pray. The second, listen for God's plan. The third, seek godly counsel. Fourth, align yourself with Adonai. Fifth, act. And sixth, don't be swayed by others' actions or speeches. Six things we need to do in this order. I'm putting them specifically in this order because I think they go right down this list. So first, I said prayer. The first thing we need to do is pray for a plan. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of Adonai will stand. Because some will want to come up with the plan first and then pray to Adonai that it's successful. But if Adonai is not in the planning stage, if he doesn't plant the seed of the idea, we may just be looking to go in the wrong direction. We need to ask the direction before we take the first step on that journey. And the best place to obtain the counsel of Adonai is through prayer. Jeremiah 29:11. It's one that most people know. For I know the plans that I have in mind for you, declares Adonai, plans for shalom and not calamity, to give you future and a hope. We must remember that he knows the plan for us and not try to reverse those roles. It's not that we know and we want to tell him what the plan is. It's that he knows and we need to want him to tell us what the plan is. It's not that he knows what the plans we have are for him. Put the first thing first. He's got to be first. Second, listen for God's plan. Going to prayer is not the same as listening to Adonai. How many know that if the mouth is going, most of the time, the ear's closed? We can talk to Adonai in our prayer, but are we listening to Adonai for an answer? How many of you have spouses that you know that if you're talking to them and in the middle of a sentence, they're talking back at you? They're not listening to you. They're thinking about what they want to say. They're thinking. A conversation is when two people are talking, but certainly not at the same time. Sorry. So we have to have ears open. We have to have a quiet time before the Lord so that we can hear from the Lord. It's good to talk to Adonai. It's really good to listen to Adonai. 1 Kings 19:11 and 13. Then he said, "Come out and stand." Now this is Elijah after his little bout with Jezebel, and he starts running. And the Lord leads him to the cave, and he's in the cave. And the Lord, and he being the Lord, "Come out and stand on the mount before Adonai. Behold, Adonai was passing by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and shattering cliffs before Adonai. But Adonai was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But Adonai was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But Adonai was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a soft whisper of a voice." As soon as Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then all of a sudden, a voice addressed him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Sometimes we think we should be hearing the plan of God. We're only really just learning a lesson from God. Because we think the plan should be in the hurricane, but it's not. Or the earthquake, and it's not the fire, but it's not. Elijah thought he was being called out at first to see all of this, but it's really just to get his attention and to teach him something. He needed to wait to hear that soft whisper of a voice to give him direction of which way to go and what to do. And it would have been easy for him to be scared off by the hurricane, by the earthquake, and by the fire. Because sometimes, don't we have to go through these things? You know, we think we get the plan of God, and all of a sudden, all this stuff starts coming against us. And it's easy to be scared off and say, "Okay, it must not be God. I'm out of here." But sometimes we have to walk through it to prepare us for the plan to succeed. We need to wait and hear that small whisper of a voice to make sure we get the full plan. The plan wasn't just for Elijah to go to the cave. That was just the start. The plan wasn't just to have him in the middle of a hurricane and an earthquake and a fire. That was just the lesson. The plan was for him to hear the small voice so he would know what to do next. And there were important things to be done next for Elijah. So the third thing, we've prayed, we've listened for God's plan. The third thing is godly counsel. And godly counsel is not the counsel of God, but the counsel of godly people that he places among us. Here at the synagogue, in our lives, we know who the godly people are. Pray that we know who the godly people are. Proverbs 20:18. Plans are made by counsel, so wage war with guidance. That means we need to carefully surround ourselves with those who are godly people. We need to know their character. We need to know if they're truly godly people. Adonijah surrounded himself with people he thought he could trust. 1 Kings 1:7 and 8. So he conferred with Joab, son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the Kohen, the priest. Following Adonijah, they supported him. But Zadok, the Kohen, Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shemaiah, Rea, and David's mighty men were not on Adonijah's side. He surrounded himself with people, but they were not godly people. This is, in fact, a description of Joab, who he surrounded himself with. Joab was described as a great general, but as a man, he was imperious, revengeful, and unscrupulous. He was power-hungry, revengeful, and unscrupulous. That is not the signs of a godly man. It's not someone you can trust. Abiathar was the last of Eli's house to be a priest. At one time, he was a close advisor to David, King David. But towards the end of David's reign, David recognized that the Ruach HaKodesh had left Abiathar. And he was displaced by Zadok, the priest. And they were actually high priests at the same time, because David didn't want to remove him completely. But those who were still loyal to the king and to Solomon and Adonai had chosen were godly and steadfast counsel to Solomon and his mother Bathsheba. It was with counsel and plan of Nathan that the will of Adonai was achieved, and Solomon was not pushed to the side and killed by his brother. So that's what we need, is those godly counsel people that we can surround ourselves with. We need not to think that we have to do it all on our own, but that we have people who are godly and are good counsel for us. So that was three, godly counsel. Four, align yourself with Adonai. You know, it sounds like if you do these other three things, number four should be easy. You know, you prayed, you listened to God, you listened to godly counsel. It should be easy to align yourself with Adonai. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Why do we align ourselves with Adonai? Well, that seems obvious. Proverbs 16:2. All a man's ways are pure in his own eyes, but Adonai weighs the motives. Commit whatever you do to Adonai, and your plans will succeed. Commit your ways to Adonai. Line yourself up with Adonai. He knows what needs to be done. He knows where the victory is going to be, and he knows how to bring glory upon himself. And when the glory falls for Adonai, we know that we'll feel that glory as well. It's not for our glory, but for his glory. And when he has the glory, we'll have the victory. We're committing ourselves to his ways. But even as we do this, there are spirits who try to fool us. Therefore, we need to act based on 1 John 4. 1 John 4:1. Loved ones, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see that they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. We need to test to ensure that that spirit who's leading us and guiding us truly is the Ruach HaKodesh. Because who knows how often our own hearts are deceitful? Who knows how often Satan comes against us to try to lead us in a different way, dressed as an angel of light? So what do? We test the spirit and the plan by our prayers, and as we said earlier, by comparing it to the Word of God, comparing it to the written Word. Make sure that it lines up with Scripture. If you need to bend Scripture a little bit so that it lines up with what you have planned, then my suggestion would be go back to Adonai for clarification, or scrap the plan and start over again. You should never need to bend. You should never need to, you know, try to, it just, It doesn't, it's not quite right, but if I just move it just a little bit, now it lines up perfect. No. Scripture shouldn't be bent. It shouldn't be changed. Scripture stands on its own like a solid rod. How many know that if you take a pipe and you have a rod and you try to fit them together, if one of them's bent a little bit, it doesn't go down? Well, that means it's not the one. It means there's something deformed in that plan of putting these two things together. That's where we need to be careful. That's where we need to go back and get the clarification. If the word is not lining up with the plan, it's not that the word is wrong, it's the plan is wrong. We need to make sure that we keep this in mind regardless of what we think of the plan. The fifth thing is we need to act. James 5, 7 and 8. So be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient for it until it receives the early and late rain. You also be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the coming of the Lord is near. Wait for Adonai to say it's the right time. Israel didn't move out until the cloud by day and the fire by night started moving. They didn't try to get in front of it. They waited on the Lord to move. Psalm 132:2. Behold, as the eyes of slaves to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a slave girl to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to Adonai, our God, till he shows us favor. We're called to wait, but then we're called to act quickly. Wait until the Lord favors, but then don't delay. Know that you know, then move like you know. Once you've gotten all the green lights, go. But not until. And finally, don't be swayed by others' actions or speech. Because we know that if we're doing something for the Lord, others of the world will come against us. I've never not seen it. There may be certain degrees of it. Sometimes it's just that they give a little pushback. Sometimes it's all out war. But if you know that you know that you know, maintain your course. Isaiah 14:24. Adonai Tzvaot has sworn, saying, surely, as I thought it, so it will be. As I have proposed, so it will stand. You'll hear the thoughts of others as you start to do what Adonai wants you to do, but don't listen to them. Stand firm. Adonai has given you the plan. Adonai has given you is for you, and his purpose will stand, the scripture says. Sometimes these thoughts are really much more than just thoughts that are coming against you. They are flat out discouraging words, even from people you thought you could trust. Nehemiah 3:33. So when they were rebuilding the wall, and the people within the town said, you know, they were close by, said, this is what it says in Nehemiah 3:33. Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he became very angry and was greatly enraged. He mocked the Jews in the presence of their colleagues and in the army of Samaria, saying, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the heaps of rubble that are burnt? Then then Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was beside him, said, even if a fox climbed on what they were building, it would break down their stone wall. Even if this little animal was tiptoeing across what they're doing, it would all fall apart. When the enemy sees you doing the will of Adonai, he will come against you with discouraging words. He will try to say and do anything to stop you from building up what the Lord has appointed you to build up. This is the time we're called to be strong and continue on with the plan of Adonai. This is not the time to stop and listen to just anybody talking to us. This is the time maybe to go back to that godly counsel that you've trusted and let them build you back up if you're feeling worn down. But it's not the time to listen to the world, that's for sure. The time to listen was when you were praying, when you were seeking godly counsel. It's not when the enemy's pressing in that you listen to the enemy. Go back to your counsel, like I said, and get that encouraging word. Go back to Scripture and get that encouraging word. If you know that you know, then I say, you know. Act like you know. Keep going. God gives a plan for each of us. And it's not just enough to know the plan. We have to take these steps to ensure success. You know, sometimes the steps to take really are no steps at all. God says, be still and I'll fight your battle. That's a wonderful thing when it happens. But sometimes we need to march out right alongside the Lord and do battle with him. That's why he gives us armor, to do battle with him. That's why he empowers us to do battle. Not everything comes easy. But we need to make sure that we're doing things in the correct order and in the correct way. Adonijah knew who was destined to be the next king, but he thought he could steal it away. He became the enemy to the king by wanting to have the throne for himself. Satan knows who's the king in heaven, but he wants the victory and the throne himself. And he's willing to do anything to try to gain that throne again. Not even again, to gain the throne. And he'll throw you under the bus. Just that easy. He wars against us, thinking if I can get people to line up behind me, if I can get the men running in front of my chariot, people will start believing. If I start telling the lie often enough, people will start believing, and then I will win the throne. Well, we know the end of the story. He does not win the throne. Our Lord is the Lord for all time. That includes all eternity. Satan does not have a chance. But we can't give him the foothold in this world either. We have to stand strong against him. He wants to steal it? No. And he will not as long as we stay with Adonai. And he will not as long as we listen to the plans of Adonai. He will not as long as we act along with Adonai. Take these six steps. Prayer. Listen for God's plan. Seek God's godly counsel. Align yourself with Adonai. Act when he tells you to act. And don't be swayed by others' actions or speeches. Keep Satan off the throne. Know that the Lord wants you. to act with Him. Even if you don't know the Lord right now, I'm telling you, the Lord loves you. Even those who are hearing my voice who says, but I don't know the Lord knows you and loves you. Even those who say, I don't know how, He makes it extremely easy. Open your heart, open your mind, open your mouth, and say, Lord, You are the Lord of Lords. I've battled against You for too long. I now acknowledge that You are the King on the throne forever. I now acknowledge that You supply the Savior for me. I now acknowledge the blood of Messiah Yeshua to cleanse me of all my sins. If you acknowledge those things, you have a place in heaven before the throne. You're victorious for all time. Doesn't mean life is going to be rainbows and unicorns, but it does mean He fights for you, and it does mean eternal victory. So, if this is the first time you're saying these words, I encourage you to reach out to somebody who knows Yeshua, who knows Jesus as His Messiah. And if you have nobody to reach out to, email me on the website. Look for my email, larry@shalomsavannah.com. There it is. It's out there. Use it. It's okay. I'll guarantee that I'll write back or call you if you want to call. Because it's too important. Eternity is too important to wait. You need to make the decision now because you don't know if you have an hour from now. So make your decision. Make it plain. Make it strong. Make it for eternity. Father, we just thank You that You give us opportunity to come to You. You give us opportunity to listen to You, to speak to You, to listen to You, to hear Your plans. Then You put godly people in our path so that we may counsel with them. And then You tell us what to do, how to act. And by Your Ruach HaKodesh being upon us and within us, we will have the victory. Every single time we're acting in Your plan, we will have the victory. Because You're a God who is victorious at all times. So Ruach HaKodesh, I thank You for the word today. I thank You for those who are hearing it and those who needed to hear it. I thank You that You're aligning us. I thank You that You allow us to align ourselves up with You. I just pray that everything each one of us do in every plan You have for Karen Orr and all of those who attend and listen are victorious. Give us Your plan that we may walk it out. And we thank You in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. That's God's plan for you, to be victorious. That's God's plan for you, that you would be in His presence for all eternity. Amen. Amen. Let's finish with the Kiddush, thanking the Lord for the wine and the bread. Let's all rise. Thank You, Lord.